welcome to Trust the Bible, and Merry Christmas. And the purpose of this show during Christmas time and always is to grow your confidence that the Bible is true and the ultimate resource for life. I'm Pastor David Gennaro, and I'm happy that you are spending your Christmas time listening to this program. And I want to talk about the meaning of Christmas this week, and I want to especially focus on the word joy. Joy is a very important part of Christmas. So, in fact, this is what the angel said to the shepherds. So think of the first Christmas night, and the shepherds are out in the fields keeping watch over their flock by night, and suddenly an angel of the Lord appears to them, right? And they're terrified. They're full of fear because an angel is appearing to them, and the angel gives them a message. And the first thing the angel says is, "Do not be afraid, for," so he says, here's the reason why you don't need to be afraid, "I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." Now, this is the first public announcement of the birth of Jesus. That Mary and Joseph obviously already knew about it. There were key, you know, players in the actual events that knew about it, such as Mary's cousin Elizabeth. But it was a very private thing. Now the number of people who know about the birth of Jesus the Messiah is spreading. An angel is publicly announcing it to the shepherds, and the angel tells them the defining thing they are to think about this announcement. That this news that we are to go tell on the mountain is that Jesus is born, and it is a cause for joy. Therefore, don't be afraid. Have joy about this. And then the angel goes on to explain why they are to have joy. It is because a Savior is born to them. Now, I want to talk about what joy is, because I think that there are all kinds of questions that come up on this topic, maybe questions you haven't thought of before, but I've certainly seen many people wrestle through a lot of the questions we're going to look at. And I think there's a message here in Christmas that tells us something about how to think of joy. So, for instance, let me start off with a basic question. Should Christians pursue joy? And there are kind of two reactions to this. One reaction is to kind of hesitate and say, well, I don't know. Should Christians really seek joy in their life? Because isn't there something about denying oneself, taking up your cross, and following Jesus? Isn't Christianity about serving others and thinking about the interests of others and loving others and not thinking about your own pleasurable emotions like joy or seeking your own personal joy? Christianity is a call to sacrifice and give to others. So there seems to be something wrong with the idea of seeking joy in your life. Then the other reaction I think you can have is, no, we are supposed to seek joy. And the only question is, well, why is that? How does that fit in with the rest of Christianity? Well, I take that second view. I think as Christians, we are supposed to seek joy. Think of what Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice." So Paul commands Christians to rejoice, to actively have joy in their life, to do things that indicate there is joy there, to rejoice. So if we are commanded by God in Scripture to have joy, obviously it is part of the Christian life. In other words, it's not just that we're allowed to seek joy. The Christian life involves, is intimately connected with a pursuit of joy in life. And I think this is reflected by what the angel says to the shepherds as well. The angel is saying, hey, I've come to bring you joy. God wants you to have joy. And I think that echoes down through the centuries to each of us, to you and I as well. God wants us to have joy. This is a message that is so closely connected to Christmas. And so we want to kind of connect that. Why is that? Well, God loves us. That's the first reason. God created us. He gave us life. He gave us this big, beautiful planet He designed us to be rulers over the creation he made. He set us apart of all creation. Psalm 8 says he crowned us with glory and honor. He made us ruler over the works of his hands. So God has created us with a special purpose to enjoy this wonderful creation he has made, to rule over it, to have fellowship with him, to serve him in this wonderful world he has made. Now, that's not all that the Bible says. The Bible says that we have rebelled against what God has created, that we have gone against God's laws. We have not loved God as he has called us to. We have not treated God the way we should. All the other creatures in creation, they just do what God's made them for. You know, God made fish to swim and birds to fly, and they just do what God has called them to do. But mankind has taken this special calling and relationship we can have with God and said, no, we want to do things our way. We want to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, even though you said not to. And this has inserted into what God wants to do with humanity a big problem, and that is that we are in rebellion against God. And therefore, God drove us out of the garden. Therefore, there has been death. God said, you eat of this tree, you will certainly die. And mankind certainly has died since that time. People die physically. People die spiritually. They are cut off from a close relationship with God and the joy that that brings. And see, here we come back to joy. There is a plan that God has to bless his creation with joy. And we are the ones who said, no, we don't want your joy, God. We want to go our own way. But God, rather than leaving us to go off on our own way, has a plan. And that plan has been to send Jesus Christ, which he has now done, to the earth to restore us, to bring about forgiveness, to bring about salvation, and to give us joy. So no, the Christian life is not all about sacrificing and giving to others and obeying God and slaving away to obey a set of rules that you don't want to really keep. No, at its heart, the Christian life is about a pursuit of joy. Now, I do have to put some cautions on here, and we're going to get through that this week. Let me just kind of immediately say, you have to pursue it the right way. And one thing is, you cannot pursue joy just for the sake of your own personal pleasure. Right? There is a call in the Christian life to serve others and to give sacrificially to others and to obey God's law. But I think that those teachings in the Bible are there to help us find the path to joy. It is through serving others, that's when we have the most joy. It is through loving God and loving his commands that we find joy. It is God's instructions, his laws, his commands that most naturally guide us and lead us to joy. So I'm not denying that those things are part of the Christian life. What I am saying is that pursuing joy is as well. And all of these things fit together beautifully. They're not in opposition to each other. It's not like, well, I can pursue my own joy, or I can love others and sacrifice and give to others and live for God's glory. No, they go together. It's when you do one, you get the other. And so the message at Christmas time, the angel comes to the shepherds, and he's not coming to them as if they're completely neutral. The angel is coming to the shepherds who live in a broken, fallen world where there is sin and death and pain. And the angel is saying, hey, you have all kinds of reason to be fearful because of all the problems weighing you down in life, but do not be afraid, because I'm here to bring you news that leads to joy. And that is, there is a Savior here, a sign that God loves you, cares about you. He wants you to have joy, and he's provided a way to get there through Jesus, who is this baby who is now here, who has been born. And I pray that is a celebration in your heart and life this Christmas. As you celebrate Christmas, you think of what God has done for us. Until next time, remember, you can trust the Bible.